Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we are very happy now to welcome two of the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, who are in New York today as they near the end of their 50-city tour to support certain gun control measures and other political change. They'll be at a rally in the Bronx at noon. We'll give you specifics in a minute. And the tour will end Sunday, fittingly, in Newtown, Connecticut, where, of course, 20 first graders and 6 adults were murdered in a mass shooting in 2012. Let's remember some of the timeline from this year. The Parkland shooting was on Valentine's Day. The March for Our Lives that the students led in Washington and everywhere was on March 24th. Parkland student and March for Our Lives co-founder Cameron Caskey was on this show in May, and he returns now along with fellow student Kyra Simon. Cam, thanks for coming on again. Welcome back. And Kyra, an honor to have you. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So for people who think March for Our Lives was just that mass event in March, tell us, Cam, what it has been in addition to that.
Well, since the march, we've been really able to go around the country and speak to the country. And that's no easy task. It's truly daunting considering the fact that we come from one of the most demographically, geographically, topographically diverse countries in the world. I mean, you know, America's truly unlike anywhere else. And what we've been able to see is that gun violence affects so many different areas, so many different communities, so many different groups of people in such different ways. And there's really no one answer that we can provide for this issue. It's such a multifaceted problem. And going everywhere from Chicago, where you'll see unfathomable amounts of gun violence in a matter of 24 hours, to places like, to different cities in Texas, where I would speak to people who would not know about what would happen in Chicago, who would not know about a lot of the gun violence that affects our country. We learned a lot, and we'd like to think that these communities that we've come to, we've at least been able to share the issue that is affecting us so deeply with them.
Can you remind everyone, Kyra, of the exact changes that they're calling for? Is there a 1-2-3 policy change agenda?
We do have a 10-point policy on the March for Our Lives website, but it's more than that. It's connecting and uplifting the voices that haven't been able or haven't been given the platform to share their voices. We've met young activists from Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and there's so many voices that haven't been listened to. And it's connecting with those youth and showing that gun violence isn't just mass shootings, it's police brutality, it's everyday shootings, and there's people that suffer through it on a daily basis and aren't getting the attention they deserve.
I see you've been quoted, Kyra, saying it's hypocrisy that Parkland students like yourselves have been getting all this positive attention and Black Lives Matter activists have not. Is that something you think, and do you see the March for Our Lives movement in the context of a broader set of political movements?
I definitely feel that preceding the March for Our Lives movement, there were many movements before that didn't get as much positive attention, but I believe we're learning from those movements and connecting with those movements as we've connected with a lot of Black Lives Matter chapters and showed that we stand in solidarity and we fight with alongside them. So I believe we did learn from them, and the media does shift and sort of treat different groups of people differently, especially minority activists I've been fighting for a long time. But I believe that March for Our Lives and the Parkland students have taken that knowledge and sort of realized their privilege and worked through it.
And you visited places, Cam, with some of the worst mass shootings like UVA and on Sunday, Newtown. Do you call it solidarity, or what would you say is the purpose of being present at some of those locations?
I think solidarity is a great word. I think that these communities are tied by such terrible things, and being able to stand together and say we were able to overcome, no matter how long it took, no matter by what means we did it, we were able to stand against such a horrible tragedy and try to make something out of it. I feel like that's a very positive, uplifting, and effective message.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Kyra? Is it about solidarity with the victims when you go to places that also suffered mass shootings, or anything you would add to that?
I definitely believe it's standing with them, uplifting their stories, because a lot of them haven't gotten the opportunity to share their stories as they weren't quick to react after their shootings. So it's listening to them, connecting with them, and showing that we're all here for each other. We're all fighting the same fight.
And about UVA, where people might forget, 32 people were killed in 2007. 32 in what is still statistically the deadliest school shooting. That's in Charlottesville. And today is the one-year anniversary of the deadly white supremacist rally there. I saw a story on Refinery 29, headline, March for Our Lives activists team up with Charlottesville students to call for change. I'm not sure if either of you was at that particular event.
I was, yeah.
You were. What was that like?
It was amazing. We had a panel with Charlottesville activists, and it was amazing to memorialize Heather Heyer, who passed August 12th, which is going to be in 2 days, I believe.
She was the anti-racism activist who was struck by a car.
Yes.
Driven by someone on the other side.
It was amazing to hear their voices and hear how in a city that they describe as very homogeneous, they were able to uplift Black and brown youth and put them on a panel and have really intense discussions with the community unfamiliar with discussions like that.
Cam, do you also want to weigh in on how much of a connection you see between your work against gun violence and the anti-racism work that people are thinking about with today's anniversary or in a larger political context?
Well, you know, with Charlottesville in particular, that's just such a strong signal that there is that hate is alive right now. Hate went nowhere. And when people tell you that racism and bigotry are not just as present as they've ever been, they're lying. Now, it might not be as systematic as it used to be, but the truth of the matter is people like that are still alive and they're still using... they're still capitalizing off of the fact that there are people who will buy into their hatred. So I think that the unified message here is that when people speak up against hatred, be it systematic or on a personal level, you need to listen, because if we don't address this directly, it will continue to live on. I mean, there's a rally planned by the Charlottesville Monsters coming in D.C. as well.
This weekend.
And it's just so remarkable to see people talk about how supreme the genes of white people are when the people who do that are so remarkably stupid. They're talking about their general perfection, and what you see is just a bunch of people who can barely read a book.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, my guests are two of the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Who've been involved in the March for Our Lives campaign, which was not just that one big day of marching in Washington and around the country on March 24th, but it's been a nationwide campaign that physically has taken some of these students to 50 cities, and that ends this weekend. We'll tell you about an appearance they're going to have in the Bronx today and in Newtown, Connecticut on Sunday, the final stop. Cameron Caskey is with us, March for Our Lives co-founder and Stoneman Douglas student, and Kyra Simon, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas student and March for Our Lives participant. And we can take some phone calls for them. Any questions that you've ever wanted to ask these students who've stepped up in a way that is almost unique in our nation's history, at least in the instantaneous way that they did it, or anything related? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. By the way, I guess I have to issue a correction. I said UVA, it was Virginia Tech.
In Blacksburg, yeah.
Where that worst school shooting in U.S. history was. So listeners, I apologize for that. But 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Kyra, how successful do you think the March for Our Lives has been?
I think seeing the turnout in all our events and seeing how everyone's really activated and involved and engaged across the country, I think we're very successful. And we have started or continued on a conversation and discussion among the country about gun violence and how it affects so many more people than we see in the media and we allow ourselves to feel. So I believe we're really successful, and the road to change has been really amazing. We've connected with so many people and gotten so many people's attention and really activated the youth to go out and vote in November and make their voices heard.
Do you think that there are any specific Republicans, Cam, who have NRA-friendly records, who are now finding that more embarrassing or something to hide or change because of your movement?
Well, look, 50-some-odd laws have been passed in 20-some-odd states since we started working. And I think that there are people on both sides of the aisle right now who are waking up to the fact that even though some of the laws that we might advocate for might not speak to them or their constituents, there are laws that should exist that simply do not. The ATF cannot digitize and search their files. The domestic abusers are never disarmed even for a minute in many states at the site of a domestic abuse case. And yet you'll see that the majority of women who are murdered in this country are murdered by someone who is or was their partner. So you'd think that simply taking a gun away from someone who was from a domestic violence case for 3 to 5 days, that could curb a tremendous amount of violence. And yet people don't do it because people think that touching any gun law is a complete overall destruction of the Second Amendment. And that stigma is kind of pathetic. But then again, so are our lawmakers and the way they handle things.
Is there a midterm elections hook to your work now?
I certainly think that it's important to make sure that we have young people voting, because while we've been working on activating young people to vote, if you look at the numbers, young people are not showing up the way we think they should or the way we're expecting them to. And that's fine, because that just means that we need to tackle this from a different standpoint. But we've had a tremendous surge in youth voter registration in Florida, which has been very impressive and very exciting. But in other states, the people simply are apathetic. And that's something that's very hard to quash, because apathy is something with no true solution.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Kyra, on the apathy or on the midterm elections hook to the March for Our Lives?
I'll extend the apathy. I feel like a lot of people around the country don't really concern themselves with what's going on in their country. And we spoke with people in Minnesota who felt like their vote didn't matter because of the government, and they felt attacked by the police force, and they felt that their vote wouldn't change anything in that, and that we should work towards something bigger. And I think the first step in working towards something bigger is voting, and voting to change the people that are sitting and representing you, and voting people who are morally just leaders, and having people who can accurately represent you and your desires as a human.
Nick in Astoria, you're on WNYC with Cameron Caskey and Kyra Simon from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Hello.
Hi, good morning. I had a question for you all about the role of social media in your movement. And the reason I ask is because with all the news coming out from Facebook, especially Cambridge Analytica, Russian interference, also news that social media creates a huge amount of depression in users, I was completely resigned to stop using social media once and for all. The only thing that kept me still somewhat interested in maintaining a social media involvement was your movement. I thought that without social media, March for Our Lives might not happen. I'm curious, what kind of a role did social media play with you? Is it worth completely abandoning social media because of all the bad news that we hear? Or is social media important enough to your movement that we ought to still keep it alive, so to speak?
Well, thank you for that question. You know, in a perfect world, in my own views, which are very, very mine, I would say that we would not use social media. I would say that everybody got their news from specifically... everybody looked at the news, fact-based news, no pundits, and everybody lived their own lives and didn't look at their phones all day. Unfortunately, social media has become one of the most necessary evils in the world. If I could delete my Instagram and Twitter, I certainly could right now, but if my work allowed me to do that, I would do it in an instant, because I think that social media inherently drives people to be self-conscious and image-obsessed. But alas, people use it and people are reached by it. So I have to weigh my options. Do I want to... And this isn't just me. This is everybody in this movement and everybody in similar movements socially right now. Do we want to reach people and have to deal with the fact that social media is inherently just such a ridiculous thing? Or do we want to make our lives healthier by getting away from our screens? Now, I have to embrace social media. I personally am not a fan. I'm sure Kyra can expand on that more.
Definitely. I think the day of the shootings, when I re-downloaded all my social media, I deleted it off my phone because I feel like it's a big distraction. But right now, social media is our biggest news source, especially Twitter. People get their news off Twitter. I even get my news off Twitter. And I feel like social media keeps us awake. Yes, there's negatives, and yes, there's a lot of voices that are present on social media, and there's a lot of hatred on social media, but it keeps us awake to our reality. And I think completely cutting yourself off social media and the interaction that you have with people far, far away from you is sort of closing your eyes to your reality. So I would stay in touch with social media, and I think it plays a role in the movement, getting our voices out there.
But then again, you also get people who tell you that the fluoride in water makes frogs gay, so you could do what you want with social media.
Rich in Rockland County, you're on WNYC with Kyra and Cam. Hi, Rich.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right.
I just want to say that you're doing a great job. And I think one point that might help, you know, we're having trouble getting Republicans to come to our point of view. And I think if we talked about the number of veterans who take weapons and kill themselves, it would be very difficult for a Republican to say, well, you know, I really want those veterans to have weapons. So talking about restricting guns is really in our veterans' best interest.
I appreciate that.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to directly cite a conversation I had. And mind you, I believe that much of what you said is completely right. And it's and speaking about veterans and the terrible rates at which they take their own lives is very important. But another thing I've seen is I've had conversations with people about that. Specifically, I had one in Texas. And somebody said to me, well, if I'm in a room and somebody starts shooting that room up, I can only pray that a veteran is going to be there with a gun. And I told them, you know, I have nothing but respect for what these people have done for their country, and I can only hope I can contribute as much to my country as they have by the time I'm an adult. But we cannot count on armed veterans everywhere saving everybody's lives. And simply, they have this image in their head that if somebody's a veteran, no matter where they are, they will instantly be able to solve any issue.
And at the same time, the issue of suicide in general, and Rich, you bring up vets, with whom it's a particular problem. So many of the gun deaths in this country, I think it's a third, maybe you guys know the actual statistic, are actually suicides. And people say a lot of people who consider suicide, if they don't go through with it right away, they never attempt it again. And so since a gun will take most people's lives instantly, if they try to kill themselves with one, more gun availability, so much gun availability like we have in this country, results likely in a lot more suicides than would otherwise be successful. So the vets are one particular group, and suicides as a kind of result of so much distribution of guns. Kyra, you've been quoted on not forgetting urban violence victims, more likely to be people of color in shootings that are not mass but more individual. Has March for Our Lives agenda taken that into account? Because I think the assault weapons and big magazine ban that get all the headlines don't really address that.
Definitely. I think one of the things I'm the most proud of this summer is that we've connected with a lot of youth affected by gun violence in inner cities. We have people from the South Side of Chicago, West Side of Chicago, Milwaukee, St. Louis, and really shared their stories and uplifted their voices and their experiences with gun violence in their communities, and realizing that everyday shootings, police brutality, are all gun violence, and that it's not just mass shootings. And we've really made that clear, and we make it clear in every town hall that it's not just mass shootings, it's not just Parkland affected by gun violence. And in the discussion of gun violence prevention, we have to include all aspects of it: suicides, domestic violence, police brutality, and open up the entire conversation to everyone affected.
What's it been like to be in places that are so different from each other? And maybe what you've seen in your lives as suburban kids from Florida, you'll be in the Bronx today, so different from Newtown, where you'll be on Sunday, so different from Blacksburg, Virginia. What have you learned about the world or about yourselves? Kyra?
I've definitely learned that we're all human and that we shouldn't let distance separate us. And a lot of people, because it's not happening in their community or their homes or to their loved ones, they don't really see gun violence as it truly is, and they're not concerned with it. And being in Baltimore, being in St. Louis, being in Milwaukee, and seeing how segregated certain cities are and how people live and how they feel that they've accepted their lives and accepted that they hear gunshots every time they go to bed and accepted gun violence in their communities, and they think it's normal. And how, for me, that's something that I do not deal with on an everyday basis. So it's empathy, opening my hearts to other people, and sort of open my eyes to our country.
Cameron, same question.
I've learned that there are an awful lot of people who will believe anything they're told and do not ask twice. I've learned there are a lot of people who will cite a single news channel that they call a news channel. It's a pundit, and those two words have become incredibly blurred in the recent years. But they'll tell me that, you know, if Laura Ingraham says something, it's right. And I'll say, have you ever looked anywhere else? And they say, I don't need to. And once you get to that level, it's hard to argue, because you could tell that this is somebody who will not be moved or swayed in any way. But, you know, we've seen the best and worst of humanity since the shooting, the tour and the march and the lead up to the march included. We've seen people who have shown nothing but the deepest kindness, empathy, and understanding, and people who will tell us that we're crisis actors to our faces. And one of the most important things you could take from that is this is a country that needs a lot of help. And this is we are a divided people that needs some sort of sense before we get anything actually done here.
Heather in West Windsor, you're on WNYC with Kyra Simon and Cameron Caskey from Parkland, Florida. Hi, Heather.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Guys, I'm an eighth grade social studies teacher and returning to school this fall, kind of feeling a very sense of disappointment and heavy heart in the state of our nation, especially with a white supremacist in the White House. But as a school teacher, I'm not to share my political views, and I think I do that pretty well because I primarily just teach history, and so that's rather boring, as you probably remember, eighth grade. So I can encourage my students to become activists. I might become more of a social studies teacher this year and really break up my lessons with information about activism and social justice work. So I'm asking you as young adults, what you would have wanted to know in eighth grade or going into high school about the work that you're doing now, becoming actively involved and engaged, so I can sort of nurture some future activists and leaders that can help change some things. What do you guys think?
Well, all I can really do at this point, besides, you know, ask you to encourage these students to embrace their First Amendment rights, is remember that these are students who simply do not need to learn politics. I know you just covered this from a teacher. These are people who do not need to have their political views in any way affected by what their eighth grade teacher says. I had a teacher for history this year, Kyra and I were in the same class, that was so filthily marinated in her own disgusting bias that she fed it into every single lesson. And if this was bias that I agreed with, that would be perfectly, that I would be just as mad because I don't like to hold people to double standards. So
correct.
Beg of you, encourage these people to use their ability to stand up and speak up, but your political views are your own and shall remain your own as long as you teach.
Welcome to today's edition of Rate My Teacher. Heather, thank you very much. Kyra, what would you add?
Building on that, I say instilling the confidence in them that their voices matter, that no matter where they come from, what they deal with on an everyday basis, their voice is their power, and they should be able to use their voice to speak their truth.
Well, let's take one more call. Eric in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Brian, good morning. And I want to just thank Kara and Cam for all the work they're doing. I'm, as a parent, I'm so proud of them and their work. I'm a trauma injury prevention coordinator in the Bronx, and we work with Cure Violence Partners, primarily BRAG, which is Bronx Rises Against Gun Violence. These are young men and women that are violence interrupters, and they're doing great work in the community. And I'd just like to invite Kara and Cam back to the Bronx if they have time to meet us and to see some of the great work that they're doing here in our community.
Well, I'm sure your work is great. I encourage you not to brag about it, but we'd be happy to speak to you about that.
In fact, as we start to run out of time, I will say that the Parkland students who are in the city, I guess that's more than just you two, right?
Yes, definitely.
Will be in person at a voter registration rally in the Bronx at noon. That's at Bistro, like the word beast, like an animal, a beast, Bistro, 135 Alexander Avenue in the Bronx at noon today before heading on to Newtown on Sunday. Can I just ask what happens to you guys after this, Kara? Am I right? You're going into senior year still?
Yeah, August 15th is the first day of school.
Oh, wow. Start early.
So excited.
That's for the Florida weather. Better to start in August than September.
Yeah. And we ended earlier, so.
Yeah. And do you have your sights on any particular college or career? And has your experience since the shooting changed that?
Right now, I'm undecided, but definitely I would continue with activism and being a humanitarian in any form.
Cam, same question?
Well, after the tour, I'm very deeply invested in the school board election in Broward County for which early voting starts August 18th and the actual election day is August 28th. We've seen such horrible things coming out of the leadership in Broward County, and I'm working with a bunch of the different families of people who have been lost in the shooting. And we are all just trying to make sure Broward's leadership gets on a steady course. After that, however,
are you going to run?
I can only hope not, for the sake of Broward County and for the sake of the American people. But, you know, as long as there's work to be done, I could tell you that Kyra and I will be doing it. As long as there's change to be made, we will be deeply invested in it. And We are excited to see what comes out of the next couple months, and we can only hope that we get some good things done.
Well, Kyra Simon and Cameron Caskey, thank you both so much for making this one of your stops today. Best of luck to both of you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.